Welcome to this episode of the Grace and Grit podcast, where we candidly discuss one more topic relevant to women in today's culture. True femininity requires both the grace to honor those around us and the grit to stand for truth. I'm passionate about both and so happy to have you here. For additional information or contact options, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram or follow my blog at sarah-daigle.org.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Carolyn Click, a Catholic divorce healing coach with Abounding Joy Ministry. And I'm here with my friend, Sarah Daigle, author and speaker, mom. And we're here today to talk about a topic that is near and dear to Sarah's heart, why I'm not a feminist. And Sarah, you were just saying that this is a topic that's not just particular to Catholics or to Christians, but also to secular people. So what is it about this topic that is intriguing to you?
There are so many things, but the other day at work, I decided to just YouTube why I'm not a feminist. And I was shocked. These girls came on who were not Christian, were not Catholic, were not probably any religion really. And they had all kinds of reasons of why they're not feminists. And it boiled down to the feminist movement has gotten to where, in spite of the fact that it says they want equality, it has gone beyond that to where the leftist movement, you know, they're now okay if women get favors that men don't get, if they get more than men get, if they don't have to do things that men have to do that are difficult. So there seems to be a focus on raising women up to be just as capable as men are, or to be on equal grounds as men, until they want their womanly favors, you know, or they're not okay if the benefits for women surpass those of men. So it's really turned into a movement that's not necessarily about equality per se, but it's gone beyond that. And so a lot of people are seeing that. And so my beliefs stem obviously from scripture and divine design with how God created me as a woman, and my passion for the health of women, spiritual, emotional, physical, sexual, relational. I think it's such a big topic because women are powerful and we have a major influence on the world around us, and we forget that. But our influence doesn't come from trying to prove that we're the same as men. Our best power lies in tapping into our femininity and going, who am I supposed to be? Who was I designed to be? And what is my call in this massive, great universe that I don't always understand, but God has a place for me here. And what is that place?
Exactly. What is God's design? What is his mm-hmm. intention and his will? And so then how can I live out that design according to his plan, which would be full worth and dignity of men and women, but not a kind of entitlement either for men nor of women?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quote that I really like, and it talks about how even when there is equal opportunity, there is still different outcome. So let's say, for instance, there's equal opportunity, I believe now, for either gender to join the military or the Air Force or the Marines. We are still, after all these years of feminists proving that they're equally as capable, trying to prove, we're still seeing a far greater influx of men joining the Air Force and the military and the front lines of battle. And so again, there can be, equal opportunity, and yet by nature and by design, there is still a different outcome.
We are equipped differently.
Yeah.
So Sarah, why do you think that men and women notice and appreciate each other?
Well, back to my YouTube search that day at work, I was fascinated. There was this random stranger going around the beach, just holding up his microphone to all these random men. And, a lot of them just looked like hippies roaming the beach. Or, again, this was not even faith-based or culturally based. This was simply random men talking about random women. And what they said, it struck me, none of these men were saying, "I love it when a woman proves how strong she is," or "I love it when she proves she can do the same things I can do," or "I love it when she beats me in an arm wrestle or brings in as much income as I do." They all said things like, and they looked so, their eyes lit up when they said this. And every single time, without exception, they said things like, "I like that women are soft. I like that women are nurturing. I like that women have such good intuition that they can speak into my life, see things that I don't see about myself, and help me change because they're in tune." Like, he didn't say this, but I know this. God made us to intuitively know things. And then, of course, there was, "I like how beautiful they are, and women are goddesses," and all that stuff. But
beautiful to hear.
It is. It was fascinating to me because this, again, this was not even biblically based. And yet what it did for me is it wrapped the truth together that our biological design supports scripture, and scripture supports our biological design because God created us. And it's God's word. So of course the two flow together. And when we see that and honor that, there's just no need for us women to prove anything anymore. It's just, all we have to do is be the best version of ourselves that we can be.
Yeah. And Sarah, this reminds me of the letter to women that Pope John Paul II wrote in 1988. He wrote so many beautiful things to women, but he said, "The creation of woman is marked from the outset by the principle of help, a help which is not one-sided, but mutual. Woman complements man just as man complements woman. Men and women are complementary." And I would add, "So therefore not intended to be identical."
Yes. Yes. And there's this big thing out right now about, should marriages be, or relationships be, egalitarian or complementarian? And I think that's a whole big question in and of itself. Like, yes, we are equal in our value, but we complement each other in our roles and in our giftings and in our callings. A woman's always going to decorate the house better, and there are just certain things, and I'm speaking in general. There are obviously women who hate decorating and who aren't into all the girly girl stuff, and that's okay. But in general, we complement each other so beautifully when we just step into who we are. And when one or the other of us doesn't, there's just a huge lack. And we know that when men step down and don't do the things that a healthy masculine man does, there's a lack. Just yesterday, my car broke down on the side of a, well, it was breaking down as I was in really heavy traffic.
Ooh.
And yeah, and I was just able to pull over. It was 45, a three-lane freeway clogged with traffic. And I was like, I had better just do nothing but get off the road. And I made it onto an exit. And then my car died and it wouldn't even start. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, what
do I
do?
This
doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel safe. And thank goodness there are still healthy masculine men in the world who are okay with helping women, and I had one stop and help me out. And he literally stayed with me for an hour making sure that I was safe. He tried to jump my car, the battery in my car, and then he stood on the side of my car, making sure that the traffic that was coming on the right side of my car and on the left side of my car didn't hit my car. And I just sat in my car and received it. I mean, of course, I thanked him a lot and showed him my appreciation, but that was a beautiful example to me of a woman needing something and a man stepping up and honestly being happy to step up. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't, you know, I even offered, I'm like, well, you don't have to stand in the hot sun. You know, the southern sun gets hot. I said, you can actually, you know, you can sit in my car if you need to. And he's like, oh no, I'm going to be standing out here and making sure you don't get hit. And that was a good example to me, like in preparation for this podcast, it was just really beautiful. And I knew that's how God made things to work.
Just to validate that, I had a similar situation on an exit ramp of the same 485, except for I hit a lake of water and my engine cut out. And there were three or four people who stopped to help me and did the same thing, make sure I didn't get hit, tried to start my car. And they were all women. I'm sorry, they were all men. There weren't any women who stopped to help me. And I don't think it's because women aren't helpful or didn't care, but because I agree with you, I think it's because men feel equipped. And they did the same thing. They stayed over an hour to protect me. And wow, was that was such a beautiful feeling for me. So yes, I've gone through the same thing just about a year ago. So Sarah, when, you know, some women work outside the home and there's the question, you know, people say, you know, how does it work when women are working versus being at home with the children? But even when a woman works outside the home, what are some of the differences that are still obvious?
Wow, that's a loaded question. gosh, I think for me as a single woman working outside of the home, I still come home, and by nature, I'm more of a nurturer at home than, let's say, probably a man who goes to work and comes home. You know, he's not going to want to do homemaking as much as I want to do homemaking when I come home. There's just a difference. You'll see a mother by nature probably taking over certain aspects of her baby's care and her toddler's care and doing much better at that. And you'll see maybe a dad by nature cutting grass in the yard, or, you know, sure, helping up and stepping up to do dishes and laundry if need be, if they're both working. You know, sometimes we do those things. But the difference to me is just, it's so obvious, it almost feels silly to describe. A healthy woman will be a healthy woman, whether she's working or not. And a healthy man will just be more masculine and gravitate towards different things by nature. And if he steps into more of the household role, it's usually because he sees that his wife needs him to. And so he's there helping her, which is protecting her from having too much on her shoulders. You know, if the car breaks down, it's usually the man who goes out to fix it. And if a birthday party needs to be planned, it's usually the mom who plans the birthday party. There's so many different ways. I guess it's hard for me to articulate, but those are a few.
It's interesting how even the choice of words that you use, like you said, stepping up to help with dishes, as if it's something outside of his role and he's stepping in to help her. But I agree, just in most homes in our country, probably in the world, maybe even more so, that there are certain tasks that we naturally gravitate toward. And the beautiful thing is in a healthy relationship, we look at What are the gifts that God has given the person number one? What are the gifts that God has given person number two? Like, some people are really good in accounting and they should be paying the bills. One person is naturally stronger. 90%+ of the time, that's the man. Once in a while, if the man is disabled, the woman has to step up and help. But through our natural design, I think, we look at the natural gifts that God has given us. And they are not gifts for self. They are gifts for the partnership, for the marriage, for the family. And so if I'm a great accountant, I want to bring my gifts to bear. If I'm with, with a spouse who maybe isn't a math guy, and vice versa, whatever the task might be. So
yeah, I think a healthy woman always utilizes her voice and her gifts. Even my mom, for example, she has a really good organizing brain on her shoulders. And so my parents own a grocery store, and there are parts of that store that my dad does much better at. And then there are parts of that store that my mom does much better at. And I think healthy masculinity and healthy femininity, they receive that from each other. And so, I mean, I'm a single woman. I'm not, married, but even though I can go out into the world and make things work, and I can, pay my bills and have a job and swing this life with kids on my own, there's always that part of me that knows that there's something lacking because there's not a man here for this or this or this. Like, say, for instance, yesterday when my car broke down, there are needs that women have that men are meant to fill, and there are needs that men have that women are meant to fill. And I am frankly so puzzled and frankly upset when I hear things about like the Vermont schools, where they're now wanting to not distinguish genders to the point where they're talking about teaching sex education in the schools by not referring to man and woman anymore. They want to refer to the person who bears the seed and the person who carries the sperm, or however they're going to word it, but it's turned into persons instead of man and instead of woman. But I was thinking, I was feeling so upset about this. And I was thinking, how ironic is this that even though they are removing the word woman, they still have to distinguish the difference.
Yes.
They are absolutely incapable of not bringing in a difference.
Yes.
And so they have to say the person who bears the seed and the person who doesn't bear the seed or whatever, it's just so sad to me. Yeah. And the whole thing's going to confuse children, and it's going to just mess up homes. And I think it adds even to the problem of gay and lesbian lifestyles. Homosexuality will become more rampant the more we're not elevating our femininity in a godly, God-designed way, because once men have nothing attractive in a woman to be drawn to, a healthy masculine man will not be drawn to a strong masculine woman. he'll be drawn to a strong feminine woman. And so we have to look at our femininity and go, what does strong femininity look like? How can we be strong and yet be feminine? And that's been a huge journey for me because of where I'm from. My first marriage being so locked up and shut down, and then finding my voice and needing to make my own way in the world, and being out here as a single mom doing life in Charlotte in such a busy area. I have had to learn as a woman to step into all of these things, but I have determined that I'm going to do it in a feminine way. And I think that's the bottom line. It's more of a state of being than it is a state of doing.
And Sarah, I think back to, like, how do we know? How can we Where is the guidance that we can that can assure us of these proper gender roles? Well, I think back to the Garden of Eden when God created them male and female, and then created marriage, which was a man and his complementary partner, a woman. And so that was God's design. And you know, he doesn't make mistakes. So there's that. And then we have the example of the Holy Family. So Jesus was coming into the world. And so how did God formulate the Holy Family? Well,
I was thinking that too, Mary. Yeah.
With a mother, Mary. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for generation purposes, there wasn't, you know, it was the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. So I mean, Mary could have been, from a physical perspective, just a single mother. But no, God raised up Saint Joseph to be the foster father and to be that father and teacher and that masculine guide. And so that the beauty of the family. And so based on all that, I've really come to see that God's design and his desire for every child who comes into the world is to have a loving masculine father and a loving feminine mother in union, each using their gifts in complementarianism or in a complementary
yes.
way, and so able to be able to give the full benefit of their gender and of their role that was given to them and designed by God.
Yes, and to not be messed up as kids, being told in the schools that they might be an it or they might be a girl when they're a boy or a boy when they're a girl, like that will confuse a child. And I think even our teenagers, like, you know, a girl might have a best friend who's a girl and she'll start getting confused. Oh my gosh, does this mean I'm gay? Or, you know, does this mean I'm lesbian because I love my friend so much and I think she's so beautiful and we're so close and we share everything together. And I'm here to say no, that doesn't mean you're gay. That means you are a human being connecting to another human being in a very healthy way. We were designed to connect to each other. And what's sad to me is the confusion that this is bringing to young minds. And so one of my greatest passions right now is to be a proponent for healthy femininity. It has been for many, many years, but the more I see of this woke culture, and just the other week I was getting my hair done in a salon in Matthews, and almost the entire time I was surrounded by gay and lesbian or transgender people talking about the drag queen show that was going on that night. And the man had a super feminine voice, the women had super masculine voices. And I was just sitting there for a long time, just like, Lord Jesus, help our culture. Like, this woman needs to know that it's okay to just be a woman. Like, regardless of how men have hurt you, you don't have to hurt yourself by trying to be one.
You don't
you know?
Have to negate the gifts that we've been given just because maybe they've been rejected or not
Yes.
recognized by others. That
Yes.
God still recognizes them. God has still given them to us, and that, you know, the hope and prayer is that we can recognize those in ourselves, despite, you know, the craziness in the culture.
Yes, and to know how to speak to our children, my daughters. I have two beautiful daughters, and I talk to them often of just femininity. Like, it's a harsh world, and sometimes they feel like they have to be almost a bit abrasive in order to stand up for themselves and make sure that they're not hurt, you know, more than they've already been hurt. So, and I keep trying to tell them that their greatest power will lie in strength, yes, but feminine strength, not abrasive, brash, or rude, kind of a self-protecting shell. That's not true protection.
Yes.
So it's a big topic, but one we need to talk to our kids about too.
Yes. And you were talking about being in a beauty salon, which segues us to the next question, which is, how do you see beauty fitting in to womanhood?
Oh, I love that question. I was raised in an environment that taught me it was wrong to be beautiful, or wrong to try to be beautiful, I should say. And so I remember staring at walls of fabric, and because all of our dresses were homemade, and I would stare at the walls of fabric and just go, could I please pick out like a pink piece for a pink dress? And it was a no, and I had to go with browns or really drab blues, or just colors that were very neutral and not very feminine. And
That's because for those listeners who don't know, because you were raised in the Amish community, and that was the manner of dress at that time. Yes.
Very, very traditional and cultural. But so today I love beauty, and I don't love the Hollywood standard of beauty, but I love just the fact that women want to be beautiful for a reason, and it shows itself even in those cultures. All the teenage girls there are trying to look as pretty as they can based within the limitations of the church rules. But it's a diehard thing for women, even in those cultures. Every single one of those teenage girls is trying to be pretty, even following rules that don't allow her to wear beautiful things. So I believe that because God designed us to want to be beautiful, and He has designed men to appreciate beauty. We all know that men are visual, men appreciate beauty, and it's up to us women to carry that in a modest, feminine manner. Because, a flirtatious tempter kind of a woman, she has a lot of power too over men for bad, for wrong. And but when you keep your beauty modest and feminine, just in that one word, there's power.
Yeah.
And that's also what we need to teach our daughters. And teenage girls have a hard time seeing this sometimes, that their beauty is not supposed to be shown in a sexual, sensual way, but in a feminine way. And that's where the real power lies, because anything else is just destructive, in this world and for men. So that's a
And
big topic.
yeah, and when you think about it, really, we talk about three paths to God. One is beauty, which is the most universal, and then truth and goodness. And so we think of our own, or we're concerned about our own beauty as women, but when we think about the beauty as God created it, that beauty speaks to the heart of humans, men and women. And so we wouldn't want to, as women, make ourselves less beautiful, less reflecting God's goodness, than we are. And I know that our time is coming to an end, but I didn't want us to close without going back to Saint Pope John Paul II. For this beautiful quote that he wrote in his letter to women, he said, "Thank you, every woman, for the simple fact of being a woman. Through the insight, which is so much a part of your womanhood, you enrich the world's understanding and help to make human relations more honest and authentic." And that's what you and I, Sarah, would love to emulate and love to aspire to, that we are authentically using our feminine gifts that God has given us, that we're using them to make our own life more joyful, that we can extend those gifts and be a blessing to other people, to our church, to our community, to the world, and really be the reflection of His love, His grace, and His design that He created us to be. So thanks for joining us. I wish we had another half hour, but thanks to everyone for joining us. And again, we have today Sarah Daigle, author and speaker. And I'm Carolyn Klicka, a Catholic divorce healing coach at Abounding Joy Ministry. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Grace and Grit podcast. For more information or contact options, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram or follow my blog at sarah-daigle.org.